So B-Comp, how was the trip out west, pal? You were in my playground in Las Vegas.
I was. Trip was great. Got to hang out with my brother, my cousin, my uncle for a few days. Saturday did not go very well, but I bounced back nicely on Sunday. So thank you very
Did
much to the Green Bay
Saturday
Packers.
didn't Saturday didn't go well because you bet on the
Saturday.
Islanders?
No, the Seattle Seahawks did not comply with what I felt was going to happen, but I bounced back nicely on Sunday.
Well, let's bounce back right here. The Owls have done a little bit of that. Let's do it.
All right, man.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
All right, welcome to the show. Mikey, nice bounce back win for the Islanders in Boston on Monday.
Absolutely, pal. You can make the case that it was probably their best 60-minute effort of the entire season. Too bad it came 40 games in and the rails are, you know, the bus is already off the track. So we'll see. But it was a very impressive win. First shutout ever in Boston for the franchise.
How about that?
That was a nice little nugget. But
you would have thought that, like, Tommy Salo or Eric Fischow would have had one back in the day, right?
Right, or you know, or maybe some of the other goaltenders in Island before, but it is it was a nice win. Grice played really well. They got some contributions from guys like Kuhlman who
haven't
given them everything that they've needed this year. So probably too little too late, but maybe their best performance of the year.
And Jason Chimara, I don't know what's gotten into this guy, Mike, but he has been way better over the past week. Maybe it's because you called him out last week. I don't know, but Chimara's been really good.
I think we've been calling him out for months, haven't we? I mean, I don't think it started last week, but nice to see. He looks like he's flying out there. No more bricks in the skates like we talked about a couple months ago. It's good to see. He scored in three straight games now and looks like the player that the Isles signed in July, but like a big performance in Boston yesterday, for me, Bry, too little, too late.
No, you're right. And yeah, you know, and what really stinks is the performance on Saturday in Carolina. I mean, this should have been a 3-0 road trip, Mike. And again, the breakdowns in their own end of the ice. I know, you know, you look at the score sheet and oh, Grice must have been terrible. I don't think that was the case, really. I think it was more the breakdowns in front of him. But you look at these standings, and I just don't see how the Islanders can get back in this race.
Yeah, they're 8 points out now, I believe,
yeah.
And they have 4 games in hand on whoever's in that last spot, and later on in the show we'll kind of break down if we think, which is our weekly thing now to see how many points back they are and if there's still a chance. I think you know where I'm going to go with that one.
Of course.
But if you want to be involved, you've got to win games like Saturday night in Carolina. To be fair, Bry, Carolina's played really well lately.
Yeah, they have.
The Hurricanes have... Especially at home, they've had a little jump to them lately.
They sure have. And John Tavares has had a little jump to him as well, which is, you know, really nice to see because, you know, like I said last week, Mike, he's one of the reasons why the Islanders are where they are in the standings. Not the prototypical John Tavares that we become accustomed to, but 5 goals in the past 2 games.
No doubt about that. And that's a guy you want to say that we did call out last week because we said he probably didn't deserve his All-Star selection, which he didn't.
Right.
And then he comes out. Hat-trick in Florida on Friday night, 2 more goals against Carolina. I thought he played pretty well in Boston yesterday as well.
Yeah.
And 3 really solid games in a row from Johnny, and broken record show here, if you want to call it, too little, too late. Because the 3 things that we just talked about, JT, Chimara, a complete 60-minute effort, if we would have seen these things from the middle of October on, this team would be where it was last year. And instead, you're getting this stuff 40 games in, and the hole is probably too big, but it is nice to see. And Johnny did this last year, if I remember, around All-Star break is when he kind of turned it on, because we kind of whispered maybe he didn't belong in Nashville last year, and he had a dynamite second half.
Yes, he
but
did.
But the Islanders held water while he was having a kind of a sluggish first half. They haven't done that this year, but if Johnny's going to turn it up, maybe that 8 points, 4 games in hand isn't as insurmountable.
Well, congrats to Johnny, nonetheless, for his 500th NHL point. It's amazing how long he's already been in the league. Just makes me feel older and older. Larry Brooks had his column on Sunday saying that the Islanders should consider trading Nick Leddy to Colorado for either Gabriel Landeskog or Matt Duchene. If they can do it without the likes of Matthew Barzal, I think you have to consider it. Of the two, I think Duchesne should be the guy. Because as far as I'm concerned, trading a boatload for Landeskog when you could have simply re-signed Kyle Okposo doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. I think Letty's been a lot better recently.
Yeah.
He's kind of looked like the guy that we saw his first couple of seasons here. He's got, I believe it even said in the article that they matched up kind of money-wise.
Right, right.
With terms of years and dollars. I normally don't take the Larry Brooks stuff very seriously.
Because I
feel like, listen, he sometimes jumps into the Islander pool when he probably shouldn't. But no, I'm serious. But I'm going to give him credit because he actually had a couple things in there that I 100% agree with. Some of his stuff about Garth. If there's a deal to be made, what you did over the summer, you tried to change the face of the team.
Right.
Not the face, but the parts of the team around Johnny, and it didn't work. So now you kind of have to go back to the drawing board, per se, and if there's another move out there to be made, you got to make it. I don't know about Letty. I like Letty a lot, but I guess you have to try to make a deal like this. They didn't do the Hamonic thing, whatever, over the summer. You got to try to, I guess, change it up because this forward group right now, I guess you could say, isn't going to work, pal.
Well, Mike, I think the main thing is you have to know what you have in Devin Toews before you trade a guy like Nick Letty because they don't have another puck-moving defenseman.
Yeah.
So if you take Letty out of the equation and don't properly replace him, you know, it's great that they have Matt Duchesne in the mix, but who's getting Matt Duchesne the puck out of the defensive end of the ice?
Yeah.
So
no, it's
there's
true.
A problem there. I know Toews is having a great year. I think we're going to see him before the season's over for sure, but they have to know what they have in Devin Toews before they can move Nick Letty.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. And I don't know if the Nick Letty stuff, I don't know if, who knows if Colorado would do that deal.
Right.
I know everybody wants, like Larry wrote in the column, everybody wants top four defensemen. Everybody is looking for top four D-men, but who knows if Colorado thinks Nick Letty is a match for Matt Duchesne, and they'd probably want more than Nick Letty. Let's be fair here. He's right about one thing. Garth has to try to make some changes if he wants to keep his job. A lot of people, Bri, don't feel that he deserves that opportunity to try and make the changes here by the March trade deadline. Because he might be out anyway.
Well, that's the thing, Mike. If he makes a trade of this magnitude, he's not going anywhere. Because why would you allow him to make such a trade if you're going to remove him within the next 2 months?
No doubt.
Right?
And that's why if he does, you could rest assured he's not going anywhere. He might have to make the move with Jack, which we've talked about. But I think But Ledecky and Malkin didn't sign up for this, like Larry wrote. They didn't sign up to take over a team that's going to be at the bottom of the standings. They didn't. And it's important for Johnny, as we've talked about ad nauseum over the last couple of years, really, that the team has to be in a position to re-sign Johnny. This has not worked out this year with the Ladd Chimera experiment hasn't worked. So you got to go back to the board and you've got to figure something else out. And if that means possibly moving Nick Letty for if you do Letty, I'll ask you point blank, buddy. Letty for Duchesne straight up, would you do it?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
Letty for Landeskog, you would do it.
I wouldn't. Because again, just re-sign Kyle.
Right.
Just re-sign Kyle Okposo if you want Gabriel Landeskog. I know Landeskog's younger, I get it.
Right.
But the money's similar and they're very similar players. I think the biggest question is if they get Matt Duchesne, is he their number two center or is he gonna play left wing with Johnny? I'd rather have him in the middle, personally.
I would probably do, if it was straight up, I'd probably do Duchesne for Letty. I would probably do it. So let's talk a little bit more. One thing I got asked yesterday about the roster, Bri, and somebody on Twitter, and I forget off the top of my head who it was, but they asked me if they think, I've been obviously pumping the Bailey his season. He's having a great year.
Yep.
You have as well.
Yep.
Josh has done a nice job.
He sure has.
Do you think that Josh might be in play? We know he's not going to be protected. Do you think that he would be in play for Vegas when we get around? I know it's 5 months away, and you love talking about the expansion draft this early. But do you think that Josh has had a good enough year to where he might be in play for Vegas when we get to the expansion draft?
Not at not at $3.3 million, and I think he gets $4 million. That's his paycheck next year, Mike. So, again, I think Thomas Hickey is a legitimate option to be captain in Vegas. I think Hickey's going to be the guy who ends up in Las Vegas.
Really? Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, I just think that Josh has had a good enough year where he's going to be considered. I understand the money, but they've got it. You got to remember something. They do have to get to the floor.
Right.
You know, they do got to get to the cap floor. So taking a guy like Bailey at $3 or $4 million would help them do that. I think that he might be a legitimate option, but I could see Hickey as well. They're going to lose somebody. We know that. We've talked about it. Unfortunately, with the way the Islanders season is gone, this is the kind of stuff that we had to steer towards, Bri, is who's going to get taken in the expansion draft. But Josh has done a real nice job, as we've talked about.
Well, look, George McPhee had a nice long look at Josh Bailey while he worked for the Islanders. So maybe it is an option, but I still think at the end of the day, Thomas Hickey is such a smart guy. I think he's going to be a coach in this league at some point if he wants to be. I think he's that intelligent, just the way he thinks the game. And Vegas is going to want some responsible guys in their own end of the ice because, look, the first couple of years are probably going to be pretty tough, right?
Yeah, and George McPhee had a good look at everybody, buddy.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got the playbook on everybody that was in the Islander organization before he left. He's got the goods on them. That's why I think it's so funny that when you see some of these mock expansion drafts already, some of them don't even have them taking a player from the Islanders. Like that I'm not even kidding you.
Well, they have to take somebody.
Not in terms of, like, they were putting up, like, their top four lines and their top six defensemen, and there were no Islander players on it. You know, and where do you think that these people that did this are from? Where do you think?
All right, Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto, exactly, Canada. So, once again, the Islander organization not getting the look from up there. But McPhee knows these guys so well, you could bet your dollar that somebody from the Islanders, a part of this team right now that plays a role, is going to get taken in June. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Mike, we have Andy Graziano on the phone. Andy, how are you, buddy?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing
Hi,
all right.
Andy.
Hi, Michael.
How you been, buddy?
Okay.
Sorry about the Dolphins.
No, he's not.
Yeah, well, we made the playoffs, so I'm probably more sorry about the Bills, my friend.
Wow.
Yeah, like Bry's right. I wasn't really sorry, so we'll just put it through.
I figured that was just a hollow attempt at some sportsmanship.
Yeah, it was pretty hollow. I'm sorry. I still love you.
That's okay. I understand.
Andy, did you like that response by the Islanders in Boston on Monday?
It was a nice response, Bry. Obviously, it was a solid game. I think that Nikolaj Kuhlman got rewarded for some hard work he's been showing over the last couple of weeks with a couple of goals, but. You know, as we've said, as you guys have said, as a lot of people have said, is it too late?
Yeah.
I just fear that, you know, the loser point is keeping the Islanders in the race right now. Everyone can say how, yeah, they're only 8 points behind Philly with four in hand, but, you know, they're only focusing on Philly. They're not focusing on the seven other teams they have to jump. So it's like,
right.
You know, not only does Philly have to play poorly, but the six or seven other teams have to play poorly as well with everything to line up and the Islanders to actually make a serious run. I mean, I think right now they're at like, they have like a 7 or 8% shot at making the playoffs, which I think is pretty accurate.
Yeah, and Andy, one of those teams also that's right behind Philly is the team that housed the Islanders on Saturday night in Carolina, the Hurricanes, who are playing really well right now. So there's a lot of things that you got to get through before you get to that point. But just getting back to yesterday, it's got to just grind Islander fans up because that's the type of performance that we thought that we would see all year long. That's the type of team that you thought coming out of the gates in October, you'd get solid goaltending, you'd get two-way hockey, a good 60-minute performance, and really it took them 40 games to finally give you one.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think this season what we've seen is the only thing consistent about the Islanders has been their inconsistency. You know, they play good for four games, they play lousy for six. They come back and play well for six, they play lousy for five. And you know, it's so hard to pin down what that can be attributed to. I think the first look, obviously, is going to be right at the coaching staff. And, you know, as much as I've been a fan of Jack Capuano over the years, and as much as I loathe the social media overreaction every single time the Islanders lose a shift, I think that, you know, it might be getting, you know, I've always felt that every coach has a shelf life, no matter how good of a coach they are. You know, eventually they're just going to run out of ideas. The system's going to become stale. And I think that time might unfortunately be coming to the Islanders, where they're just going to need a new voice. Obviously, there's been rumors of John Ledecky looking for a team president. Once that happens, I feel that Art Snow and Jack Capuano are going to really have to look over their shoulders a lot, in other words. I think that that's just something fresh may need. You have to show John Tavares something, obviously. You know, this July they can start talking extension with him. You got to find out kind of where he's at going into next season. I don't trust, honestly, the Islanders' current administration to handle a situation where John Tavares gets close to free agency like Steven Stamkos did.
Andy, it was nice to see Anthony Beauvillier get back in the lineup here. I think the way that Jack has handled this kid over the course of the season has been catastrophic. It just seems like when he's out there, he's always making something happen. I think it's rubbing off on other guys, particularly Jason Chimera.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brian, you've been a big Beauvillier guy the last couple of weeks. I've seen you call for him to be in the lineup every night.
I love this kid. I really do.
It's impossible, Brian, to disagree with you. It's just what he shows every single shift. It's one of those 19-year-old kids that just knows he has something to prove.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to be, you know, beaten on any shift. He just works his tail off every single shift. And the key is, why doesn't Jack Capuano keep him in the lineup? This goes back to, we can go back. I mean, I'm doing a column right now on the title of my column is, you know, the inconceivable, something like the inconceivable hatred of Josh Bailey or something to that effect. And, you know, it goes all the way back to the mishandling of Josh Bailey as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is the Islanders might have gotten so gun-shy over that and other instances that maybe they went too far the opposite way with these kids in their development cycle.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big mistake, as you've noted time and time again. I think the kid, at this point, the kid needs to play the rest of the season. Forget about contracts. Forget about a year of this and that. Put him in the damn lineup. See what you're like, oh, well, you know, we don't want him to get burnt out. Well, how do you know he's going to get burnt out? He may not.
Burnt out. So ridiculous.
He may not.
Yeah.
And you know what? You look at these other youngsters around the league who are given chances to develop, and they're developing just fine. You know, I look at, like, you know, a kid like Sam Reinhart in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Who's doing just not looking, you know, blowing the socks off of anybody, but playing a really good, consistent game. And why? Because he's allowed to be in the lineup every game. Pretty simple.
You're right, Andy. It is mind-boggling how the kid doesn't get out there every night, especially where you are in the season. And where you are in the standings, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm actually looking forward to this column you got about Josh Bailey, because I've been one of his biggest supporters this year, I guess you could say. I think he's having an unbelievable year. And I think Islander fans, you know, I never understand it. None of us ever understand it. The minority that actually is behind Josh never understand how this guy just continues, even in a win yesterday or even in how they played the last three nights. He still gets the business from a lot of people. I just don't get it, Andy. I can't wait for the column.
So, yeah, I think it goes back to what I was talking about 4 to 6 weeks ago about how, you know, the Islanders fans on social media were actually wanting the team to lose, whether it be to get a better draft pick or, you know, that was the primary reason. But that right there is at the core, I think, of the Josh Bailey hate as well. You know, I think that the guy has been, obviously, to me, the Islanders' most consistent forward this season.
Yep.
He's right up there with John Tavares. I think he's, 3 points behind him in the scoring race now. They have the same amount of multi-point games this year. Someone yesterday came at me, well, what about his secondary assists? Well, got you kind of beat there, because he's got 14 primaries and only 9 secondaries.
Why should so that, like, matter? Why should that matter at all? Doesn't it mean that he's playing an integral role on a goal, no matter what?
That's the kind of stuff they're coming up with, though, Bri. That's the kind of stuff they're coming up with. And, you know, I think it's clear that he was rushed as a 19-year-old. It's clear that he was never the goal scorer that some thought he might have been. You know, people forget that even in juniors, he was never a real big goal scorer.
Right.
He was always a pass-first assist guy. So I think Josh Bailey was a victim of heightened expectations. I think once people start respecting what kind of player he is and what he can bring every single shift, and the fact that John Tavares, by the way, requested that Josh play on his line tonight.
Right.
Let's not just glaze over that as well.
And Andy, these are the same people who were screaming at the OA draft that Gart should have taken Luke Shen or Nikita Filatov. So there's that too.
let's not forget that. Exactly.
Did you read Larry Brooks' column Sunday?
I did, sir.
What did you think?
I put a little reaction up on, I think it was Saturday morning on SNY. You know, it's hard to not disagree with Brooks's premise there about Garth Snow and about how he's fighting for his job, et cetera, and maybe needs a big trade to save that job. But I don't think Nicoletti can be anywhere near that conversation.
Really? Even for Matt Duchene?
Even for Matt Duchene. And the reason I say that is because Nicoletti is not only the only defenseman on the Islanders who can successfully navigate the transition waters from defense to offense and actually create something in the offensive zone in transition. He's the only one in the Islanders organization that can probably do that right now.
Do we know that? Well, that's what I said to Mike before he came on, Andy. I said they have to know what they have in Devin Toews before they can make any kind of trade that involves Nicoletti.
Exactly right, Brian. Exactly right. And from what I've been, and I'm going to be totally honest, I haven't seen much of any of Toews, but from what I've been reading and from people I've been talking to, I'd be curious to probably reach out to Mr. Prahman and kind of see what he thinks. He's the resident prospect expert. I don't think Toews is that kind of player. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he develops into that kind of player. But as you just said expertly, Brian, you can't move a Nicoletti when he's the only guy.
he
is. Transition that defense to offense. He's the only guy that does it. Ryan Pulock don't do it. Scott Mayfield, God knows, can't do it.
Right.
Nobody on the Islanders currently can do it. It's just, you can't do that. If it's me, I think if you're Garth Snow, you have to put your pride aside and your whatever it is that's holding this love affair you have with Travis Hamonic. It's got to be Travis Hamonic. It cannot be Nicoletti.
Maybe Colorado doesn't want him. You know what, guys?
Maybe.
I think this is part of the thing, too, going back to the Taylor Hall. Maybe these teams didn't want Travis. Did anybody step back and think that maybe the Oilers simply wanted Adam Larson instead of Travis Hamonic?
Very possible, Brian.
I mean, he's having a phenomenal season. He was great last night for Edmonton. He's having a really good year. And as we know, sometimes it takes longer for defensemen to – it took Victor Hedman like 3 years to become the player that he's become.
It took, you know, it took Calvin DeHaan, who I think is very steady this year for the Islanders. He had a horrible second season, and he didn't really mature and come into his own until his third. And you're right, Brian. It takes longer for defensemen. I personally underestimated Adam Larson based on the year he's having this year. That's clear. But you're right. Maybe teams aren't viewing Travis Hamonic as this one or two guy that everyone might think he is. Maybe they're viewing this more of a 3-4 guy, and that's not going to get him, Matt Duchene, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm with you, Andy. And honestly, I think the teams probably look at it and say, this guy's hurt once or twice a year. This is start. And I'll be the first to say, I totally last summer I sat there with Bri and I was totally against it. About moving Travis for Hall, and like you guys just said, who knows if that was even the offer? We don't know if that was out there. They could have wanted Larson more. Who knows? I've kind of changed my tune here over the last 6 months. I really have. I think that if it was, I probably would have did it now. But moving on from that, let me real quick, Andy, go to this one. Would you sign Thomas Greiss like tomorrow?
Absolutely.
You know, don't let him get to July, because I think this guy has shown you enough where you got to make this guy your goalie for the next 2 or 3 years till you get till Sorokin comes in.
That's actually a great point, Mike, and I actually took a look at this just this morning. I took a look at every team's not only goaltender situation but salary cap situation in goal through the end of the year and into next season, and I'm looking at a market of a solid 4 teams, potentially 6, that could come after Thomas Greiss if he's allowed to get close on July 1st. And if you're Garth Snow, especially with the situation we've seen with Yaroslav Halak, I think there's no doubt you got to throw Greiss right now, you know, 3 years at a 3.5 AAV, and, you know, see if he bites on it.
I think that includes Vegas. I think Vegas would make a run at him, too, before the window.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's
not including Vegas.
I said this to Mike last week. I mean, if they're banking on Ilya Sorokin coming over here, I mean, that's insane, because you don't even know if he's going to come here yet. And even if he does come, you have no idea how his game is going to translate over here. You have no clue. So who's your number one goalie?
Yeah, I don't want to disrespect the KHL, but that to me has always been like a glorified beer league. How's that going to translate to the NHL, with Brian? Exactly. I don't think you can even make a close comparison between the two.
And I know Yarrow still has 1 year left, Andy. And I don't know if you noticed this at the practice rink. His nameplate is gone from the practice room. Which tells me he is never, because I'll tell you what, Ryan Pulak's plate is still there. All his gear is still there. Ryan Pulak hasn't played for this team in months. Yaro Halak is never going to play another game for the Islanders.
Yeah, I said it when the Yaro thing happened that I can't, it would be so Isles if he ever played for the Islanders again, though, wouldn't it? I can't see any which way, especially knowing what we know about Alan Walsh as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a little bit of pride there, too, and I'm not sure Walsh is going to let his client just march right back to Brooklyn and play for Garth Snow again.
No chance. He's done. Andy, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, too, Andy.
Thanks to Andy Graziano from Islanders Point Blank. Mike, as we touched on with Andy and before he even came on, you look at this race. I know you look at the standings and, oh, the Islanders are only 8 points out with 4 games in hand in Philly. Problem is, there's about 8 teams ahead of them, too. So they are not making the playoffs.
No, I'm going to stick by what I've been saying for the last few weeks, Bri. I don't think that they're going to even remotely get back into the mix. And when I say remotely, that means they got to be within, like, you know, 4 points with, you know, 10 to players. I don't think they're going to get up to that and climb all those teams. But Philly's the team they have the 4 games in hand on.
Correct.
I don't have in front of me what their games in hand on a team like, let's say, Carolina, who I've been pumping up a little bit today. Because is it one?
One.
I really like the way Carolina's playing right now.
Yep.
And I think that they're a team that maybe can sneak in here and get that last spot. You've got some teams in the Atlantic Division. We'll see how they start playing. There's a lot of teams ahead of the Islanders. And it's just too little too late. It really is. I'm sorry if I'm being too negative, which some people feel. But it is what it is. I'm being real. I don't see it. I don't see them being involved.
The only team that has a game in hand on the Islanders is Ottawa. The Islanders have games in hand on everybody else. But unless they go on a Columbus-type run, Mike, it's just there's no chance.
Do you really think that this team is going on a Columbus-type
run?
Do you think that they could go on a winning streak half as long as the one that Columbus
I do
went
not.
On?
I do
you think
not.
They could win 7 games in a row,
I do
let
not.
Alone 15? No,
I do
they
not.
Can't.
I do.
So let's be fair here. Let's tell it like it is. They've dug themselves too big of a hole. It's their own fault. They played like garbage for the first 3 months of the season.
Yep.
And you can't just start playing well now and expect to be in the mix, not when everybody in the East, and I mean everybody in the Eastern Conference, is ahead of you right now.
You surprised by Hank's season with the Rangers, Mike?
No,
he's really
I'm
struggled.
Not.
He's really
I'm
struggled.
Not surprised because that guy's played a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, depending on what side of the fence you're on, I think that the window may have closed with him. He might have one more great playoff run in him, but the days of Lundqvist playing, you know, 70, 75 games and being a Vezina-type goalie, I think are gone.
You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Lacazzi, and Adam Rotter. We spoke with Scott Lachlan from SiriusXM this week. To find the show, search SNY.TV Rangers on the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. Mike, I called out Josh Hosang last week. I believe I called him the next Rob Schremp, and lo and behold, he was scratched after arriving to the rink late over the week.
What a shock. Shocking stuff. Really shocking development out of Bridgeport. That Hosang was late again. We've talked about this enough. The kid just, if he's not going to get it in order, all his stuff off the ice, he's not going to become the player that people think he can become. And I know you don't think so. I'm not even sure if he could become that player that everybody thinks he's going to become anyway, aside from the things that he does off the ice. So I've said for a while now, I think that you got to move on from the kid. I think if you could find anybody, and his value's got to be low right now with the way he's acting, but I feel like if you could find somebody to take him off your hands, include him in some kind of a deal, I would do that. I don't think that this is going to work out between the Islanders and Josh Hosang.
I have not once questioned his skill, and I never will. There is no debating that he is a skilled player. You look at the way that he can carry the puck, his stick handling, the shootout goals that we've seen. He's a phenomenal talent, but there's a lot more that goes into being a pro athlete, and I just don't think this kid gets it. And I think when push comes to shove, might be a year, might be 2 years, he is going to play his professional hockey overseas. It will not be in North America. He just doesn't have it here, Mike.
Yeah, and it might take something like that to straighten him out. Who knows? But he just hasn't shown the maturity of being a professional, and that's part of the game. I know you want to look at just on the ice, but for a guy that young And for a kid like that, you do have to look at these other things. And unfortunately for him and for people that want to see him, it's just the dots aren't connecting right now for him. It's
not, that simple. And you know what? I don't blame Garth for taking the chance and trading up to get him because he is a top 10 talent. And I guess it was worth the risk at the end of the day. But everybody has to understand that at the time, it was a risk. And it's not working out for them right now. I just don't ever see Josh Ho-Sang putting it all together mentally, emotionally, not so much physically, because we know how gifted he is on the ice. But to play at this level, it takes a certain level of maturity, and I just don't think Josh has it.
I'm with you 100%, pal.
We have something very special planned for next week, so make sure to check out IslandersPointBlank.com and like the SNY page on Facebook. Should be a really fun week next week, Mike.
I can't wait. It's going to be exciting.
It's going to be a blast. Thanks again to Andy Graziano. Thanks for listening to the show. Pete Kopp and Carver out.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.